Shalom to all. Today's office moment, Sidaf Nun Aleph, and we're starting about four lines off from the bottom on Nun Amud Beis with the words, Amosai Mutal Lahasir V'chulu. That's a quote from the Mishnah. And today's office sponsor, Lili Nishmas, Mars Mirim Sar Bas Yaakov Maisha, her Nishama should have an Aliyah. And Lili Nishmas, Rabbi Yosef Yontav, and Rabbi Asher Anshul, his Nishama should have an Aliyah. So Mishnah addressed the point, Amosai Mutal Lahasir V'chulu. Up until when is a person who's mischarged allowed to be Chayzer from that? So he said, Shitis Rabban, and Spitay Shayal, Takar Lakroivai, the amount of time it takes for him to show this purchase to either a merchant or his relative and get it appraised whether or not he overpaid. Now, Rav Nachman, clarifies, that's only the buyer, but the seller, he's always able to be chayzer because he doesn't have the item anymore to bring it to somebody to see if he was underpaid. And the only time he's going to be able to realize this is when he sees somebody else selling a similar item for much more than he sold it for, and then he'll be able to say, wow, that guy underpaid me, and therefore the seller has a much longer amount of time to be chayzer from this. I think more suggests, let's say our Mishnah is right for what Rav Nachman said. What did the Mishnah say? Chazal de Rechamim, that the Tagrei Lod went back to Golashid Chachamim. Originally, they went with Reb Tarfin because Reb Tarfin said that the Aina point is not a sixth, but a third, and this is good for the merchant. But then he said that the person is allowed to be Chayzer the entire day. So the Mishnah said that they were Chayzer, they went back to Golashitas Rabbanon. So you have Reb Shleim and Michael Elam Chayzer. If you want to say the seller is always able to be Chayzer, Nun Alf Amar Alf on top, Misham Hachi Chazru. So that's why they went back to Shitas Rabbanon. Because the Michael is always able to be Chayzer, and the Laikeach in Shitas Rabbanon is only allowed to be Chayzer with Desha Yasu, as opposed to in Shitas Reb Tarfin, he has a whole day to be Chayzer. So it's much better to be like Shitas Rabbanon. But if you want to say the seller is just like the lekeach and he also has a time cap, what does it make a difference to them? Meaning, what was the problem with what Reb Tarfin said? Just like the Rabbanon made a takana, they helped out the lekeach that he has the entire day to be chayzer if he's the subject of the ayna, so it's also good for the meicher that he has the entire day to be chayzer and he's not limited to bechtei sheyasu. So why would the Tagrei Lod leave Shitas Reb Tarfin and go to Shitas Rabbanon? It's technically better for them as well that they have the entire day to be chayzer if they were underpaid. So Gemara answers, Tagrei Lod lo shirech the toe. It's not common that these merchants are going to make a mistake and be underpaid. It's much more common that they're going to overcharge. So they would rather the buyer have a shorter amount of time to be chayzer, and that means they also would have a shorter amount of time to be chayzer, as opposed to the buyer having a longer amount of time. Because again, it's much more common that the buyer was going to be overcharged than the sellers, these Tagrei Lod, to be underpaid. And that's why they went back to Shitas Rabbanon. And now we have a few stories. Ush bezichin d'Rami Bar Chama, Zavan Chamra, the host of Rami Bar Chama sold wine, vita, and he made a mistake. It turns out that he was underpaid. Ashchei dehava atziv. Rami Bar Chama saw that he was sad. Amalei, he asked him, Amai Atzivas, why are you sad? So Amalei, his host, told him, Zvini Chamra Vitoi, I sold wine and I made a mistake. I was underpaid. So Amalei, he told him, Zil Hadarucha, go be Chazer on the sale. So Amalei, he told him, Hashai li Yosef Chtesha Ayrola Tagar li Krevi. I waited longer than the amount of time I have to go double check this by a merchant or by my relative to see if I was underpaid. So Shanti the commander of Nachman, Rami Bar Chama sent him to Rav Nachman, and Amalei, Rav Nachman told him, Loi Shanu El Lekeach. That was only taught by the Lekeach. He's the one that's limited in the amount of time that he has. Avol Meicher, Lo Elam Chazer. The Meicher is always able to be Chazer. My time of why is that? And we explained this previously. Lekeach mekcha biyadai. The Lekeach, the buyer, he has what he purchased in his hand. And call hecha the azel mechvile. Wherever he goes, he shows it to them. Ba'amrile, and people tell him, itai laita, if he made a mistake in overpaying for it. Whereas Meicher, the loy nakan mekcha biyadai, the seller, he doesn't have the mekach in his hand. He sold it. He doesn't have it anymore. And therefore, he has to wait ad mishamile zvinta kizvinte until a sale comes along that's just like the sale that he made. And only then, viyadai ita vilaita, he'll know if he made a mistake or if he didn't make a mistake. And therefore, he's not limited to bechtei shiyah. Because again, he doesn't have the item in his hand to be able to show people, was I underpaid for this? And therefore, Rav Nachman told the host of Rami Bar Chama, you're allowed to be chayzer from the sale of wine that you were underpaid. And another story. There's a fellow that had silk ribbons and he was selling them. He was selling them for six, but they were really worth five. But if somebody would have given him 5.5, he would have taken it. So also, a gavra fellow came along, and he told himself, if I give him 5.5, so that's an automatic case of mechila, because that's a mischarge of less than a sixth. So etan le shiso, I'm going to give him six, and that's a mischarge of a sixth. Ve'et be'ledino, and I'm going to be tevei hemodin, and I'll get all my money back, and that means I'm going to buy it for only 5 and not for 5.5. And that's exactly what he did. He paid 6 instead of 5.5, and then also kamei d'Ravi came to Rava trying to get his money back. Amar le, but he told him loy shanu el blekech manatagar. All these amounts that we've been learning about, I know less than a sixth, more than a sixth. That's only when a person is buying from a merchant. Avol blekech manbalabayis, when you're buying from somebody private from a balabayis, ain't like all of I know. No, you're not allowed to have a gnaw on him. There's no issues of overpaying. And that's because when a person sells something that's theirs, it's their personal item, so it means a lot to them, and they're going to charge way more than its actual market value. If you have a watch that you got for your chasana and you're selling it 20 years later, so it's all scratched and dented and it doesn't exactly look so nice, you're still going to sell it for way more than its actual value because it means a lot to you. You got it for your chasana. And therefore, there's no issues of a gnaw when we're dealing with a bala bias. And a similar story, there's a fellow who's selling earrings. Shavi Chamshin. He was announcing they were on sale for 60, but they were really only worth 50. If he would have given him 55, he would have taken it. Also, Ugav, our fellow, came along, and he told himself, if I give him 55, have a mechila. That's automatic mechila, because the mischarge is less than a sixth. Evidently, she didn't. I'm going to give him 60, that's Beladino, and I'm going to bring him to Din and get that extra 10 back. Also, he came to Rav Chisda, and Amalei told him, that was only taught when you're buying from a merchant. If you're buying from a Baal Bayis, he can't have any issues of Aina on him, and therefore you spent 60 and tough luck. And Amalei Rav Dimi told him, Yishar, this is good, this is correct. V'chinam Rav Blazar, Yishar. Rav Blazar said the same thing. Ask him, hold on a second, Vahanatanan. We learned in the Mishnah, which is the next Mishnah we're going to learn in a bit. Shem Shana Lahadyat, Kachana Latagar. The same way there's enough for Hadyat, for a regular person, there's also enough for a Tagar. And Man Hadyat, who's the Hadyat that we're talking about? La Baal Bayis? Isn't it talking about a Baal Bayis? So we say there's enough for a Baal Bayis as well. So Rav Chizda answers that no, but Sadri Asa. When we say that there's enough for Baal Bayis, that's talking about rough garments. These are not things that the Baal Bayis cares too much about. So therefore, when he sells them, even though he's a Baal Bayis, he's treated like a tagar, like a regular merchant. Avmani Tashmishte, but his regular clothing that he uses, the Akiri Ale, the very precious to him, as we explained previously, Lai Mazman Lahu Ilai Bidami Yaseri, he wouldn't sell them if not for more money than their actual value. And that's what we're talking about when we say there's no enough for Baal Bayis. That's when he's selling his personal items, he's going to sell them for much more than their actual value. Moving on to another Mishnah, Echal Akech Vechad Amoicher, whether we're talking about the buyer or the seller, Yeshlan Aina, they do have issues of Aina. And Kshem Shaina Lahedyat Kachana Latagar, just like there's enough for Hedyat, which means for a Baal Bayis, there's also enough for a Tagar for a merchant. Now Rabbi Huda says, Aina Aina Latagar, there is no enough for a Tagar for a merchant. Another din, Misha Hutal Alav, the one who's imposed on, Yada Al Yaina, he has the upper hand. Rata Aimer Loi, he could tell the person who imposed on him, tell him I see, give me my money back, and I want to avoid the sale completely. Oi, tell him Asha Anisani, or just give me back that which you overcharged me or underpaid me, but I want to keep the Mekach. And now explain the Mishnah. First of all, we start out Menani Mili. How do we know this? Meaning, how do we know there's enough for the Lekeach and for the Meicher? That's because Tan Rabban, we have a Braisa that quotes a Pasuk as follows. Let's first read the entire Pasuk. V'chisim kru memkar lamisecha, when you sell something to your fellow, aikanoi miyad amisecha, or you buy something from your fellow, al toinu ishas achiv, one man should not fraud his brother. And so now the Braisa quotes a Pasuk. V'chisim kru memkar lamisecha, when you sell something to your fellow, al toinu, don't fraud him. What do we learn from here? I only know from here that one should not fraud the lekeach, the buyer. How do I know that if the seller was frauded, he was underpaid, that that's also an isra vayna? Tell me, because the pasuk says aikana al tainu. So the pasuk also talks about buying. We have to have both lekeach and the meicher being written in the pasuk. Because rechmana meicher, if the pasuk only wrote about the meicher, I might say the reason why he's not allowed to overcharge is mishum dekimle bizvinte, because he's an expert in his sale. He owns the item that he's selling, so he knows the pricing, and therefore the pasuk would have to tell him, don't overcharge. He's not an expert. He doesn't know how much he's supposed to pay for this item. I might say the Torah does not warn him that he's not allowed to underpay, and therefore when a lekeach underpays, the meicher would not be allowed to claim, hey, you underpaid me. That's why the pasuk has to say that there's a nabal lekeach as well. And because rachman lekeach, if the Torah only wrote that there's a nabal lekeach, I might say that applies mishum to kakani, because he's buying something. Because people say zavnis kanis, when you bought something, you acquired, meaning you have the upper hand when you buy something, because when you have cash lying around the house, you're going to end up spending it on ice cream and chocolate, as opposed to when you take that money and you buy something good, something lasting, you've gained much more than the fellow who now sold his item, because now he has the cash lying around the house and he's probably going to end up buying ice cream and chocolate with it. And therefore, if the pasuk only wrote that there's an issue of lekeach by the buyer, again, we would say that applies only to a buyer because he's coming out on top, he has the item. Avol meicher, in regards to the seller, davudi kamayvid, he's losing out on his item. Dami inshi, people say, zavin ayvid, the guy that sold, he lost. I might say that the Torah does not warn him against Loisainu, and even if he overcharges, it's not a problem, because he's the underdog, he's ending up with cash, which is not as good as an item. Sricha, so the Pasuk has to have both, that there's an issue of Aina, both with the Meicher and the Lekeach. I think Mark continues to explain the Mishnah, Rabbi Huda, Aimer, Aina, Nala, Tagar. Rabbi Huda said that there's no Aina when we're dealing with a merchant. Ask the Gemara, Mishum, Shu, Tagar, Aina, Aina, just because he's a merchant, he's not subject to the laws of Aina, why is that? So Rav Nachman, Amar Rav, he explains, but Tagar, Safsar, Shanu, we're talking about a merchant who's a Safsar, he's a middleman. He buys and sells all on the same day. And my time, why is it there's no Aina for him? Because Medi Yad, Zvinte, Kamashavya, he knows very well how much this item costs. And he's clearly meichel if he's underpaid. And the reason why he even sold it as such, meaning if he's a middleman and he knows how much this item costs, why is it that he'd be willing to accept a lower price? And the answer is Mishum Disham Yulei Zventachriti, because he must have had another deal that came up and he wanted the cash on hand right away for this new business deal. And that's why he undersold the item to the first buyer. And it's only Vahashtamiya Kahadarbay, now he's being chayzer and he regrets underselling. And that's why he's trying to say, oh, I was underpaid, it's not fair. But really, it is fair. He knew exactly what he was doing when he sold it for less money than usual, and therefore this middleman, the safsar, he has no rights to taina that he was underpaid. Rav Ashi Amar, he has a totally different understanding. My ain letagar ina. What does that mean that there's no ina for a tagar? Ainai b'tayras ina. He's not even in the discussion of ina whatsoever. Shafilu pachsvich de ina chayzer. Even if the mischarge is less than ina, he's allowed to be chayzer, and that's because he relies on these trades. He buys and sells on the same day for his parnasa, and therefore, if he's underpaid even by less than ina, he still is allowed to be chayzer. And tanya kavasi Rav Nachman, we have a brass just like Rav Nachman. Rabbi Yehuda, says tagar ain lo ina mishim shu baki. A tagar doesn't have ina because he's a baki. And that was our first way of understanding what Rabbi Yehuda had said. That since he's an expert, he knows exactly what he's doing when he's underselling the item, and therefore later on he's not allowed to come and taina. Oh, I was underpaid. And we think explaining the Mishnah we had said Mishu told all of Yada al Yain of Achulu, whoever was imposed upon, he has the upper hand. Ask the Gemara Moni Masnisin, who's our Mishnah like? Loi Rab Nasan, Veloi Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. It's not Rab Nasan or Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Remember at the end of the previous Amud we had a Braisa with the Shitas of Rab Nasan or Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and we're saying that our Mishnah is not either of them because Rab Nasan, if he wants our Mishnah, Rab Nasan, Masnisin Tani Ratza. Our Mishnah says Ratza that if he wants to, he could be Chayzer. Braisa like Tani Ratza, and the Braisa doesn't say Ratza. The Braisa simply says Batal Mekach. The Braisa says it in definitive terms. It's either Batal or it's not Batal. The sale is valid, and we have to return the man of money, but there's no options. And Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, if you want to say our Mishnah's Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, well, Masnisin Tani Loikeach. Our Mishnah is talking about the Loikeach, and Braisa Tani Meicher. The Braisa is talking about the Meicher, and not the Loikeach. And so first we see in the parentheses Simon Zion Bez Reish Shin, and that's a Simon for who's going to give an answer to this question. The first one is the Zion. That's Rebbe Lazar, the Zion of Rebbe Lazar. Rebbe Lazar Blazar tells us, I don't know who taught this Mishnah of this Din of Aina, this Mishnah that we're quoting right now, because again, it doesn't fit with Rebbe Nasan or Rebbe, so it must be a third opinion. Now, Rabbi Amar, he's the Beis of the Simon. He says, really, our Mishnah is Rebbe Nasan. Betaninami b'braisa, ratza. And really, we should read in the braisa the word ratza. We should put that word in so it's consistent with the Mishnah. Now, Rava Amar, that's the Reish of the Simon. He says, really, our Mishnah is Rebbe Yehuda Nasi. Umay deshayr masnisin, come afresh b'braisa. Whatever's left out of the Mishnah, that's what's being explained in the braisa. The Mishnah talks about the Lekeach, but doesn't talk about the Meicher at all, and therefore the Braisa talks about the Meicher and not the Lekeach. And now Rav Ashi, that's the Shin in the Simon. They can actually make a mistake like that in the Mishnah. They taught me because the Mishnah says Echad Lekeach v'Echad Meicher, so mentions both Lekeach and the Meicher, Mefarsh Lekeach, but then it only explains Lekeach and doesn't say anything about the Meicher in our Mishnah. Shma Mina Shiru Shire LeMeicher Shma Mina. We see from here that our Mishnah left out the explanation of the Meicher, and that was picked up by the Braisa, which only mentions Meicher and not Lekeach. And now we get to another discussion. Itmar was stated Harmel Chaveir, a person tells his friend who he's getting into business deal with, Almanas She'en Lecha Alai Ina. I'm selling you this thing on condition that you have no issues of Aina with me. Meaning, if it turns out that there's Aina over here, you're not allowed to complain about it, and the sale is valid as is. Rav Amar Rav says, Yesh Alav Aina. It doesn't make difference. He still has Tanis of Aina, and this Tanai is not valid at all. Whereas Shmuel Amar Shmuel says, Ein Loi Alav Aina. He doesn't have any Tanis of Aina because that was a stipulation. Like Mar suggests, Lemu Rav to Amar Krab Meir, Ushmuel to Amar Krab Yehuda. Let's say that Rav holds a Krab Meir and Shmuel holds a Krab Yehuda. The Tanya of Breset says, Harmeli Isha, let's say a person tells a woman, Harem Mukudashisli, you're Mukudashis to me, Amanash Ein Loi Chalai Sherksus of Aina, on condition that you're not allowed to have any tainus of share ksus and oina. Share is food, ksus is clothing, and oina is marital relations. In other words, you can be my wife, but you're not allowed to demand that I give you food or clothing or have marital relations with you. So I raise mukadeshes, she is mukadeshes, utanai batal, and his tanai is batal, divrei mei that's Rameh's opinion. Whereas Rabbi Huda says, but davar shabba mama in tanai kayam. In regards to mamanus things, such as food and clothing, the tanai is valid, but in regards to oina, the tanai is not valid. So it seems to be that Rav holds like Rav Meir, because Rav Meir holds that the tanai is batal and she's mukadeshes, the same way that Rav would hold that the sale is valid, and he is allowed to have tanis of oina, whereas Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yehuda. However, the Gemara tells us that no, that Amr Lecha Rav would tell you, I know that Amr Yafil Rabbi Yehuda. I can even go like Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. It's just that I count like Amr Rabbi Yehuda Hasam El Diyad of a Kamachla. The only reason why Rabbi Yehuda says over there that the Tanai is valid in regards to the Mamanus aspect is because she knows about it and she's Michael. She knows very well what she's getting herself into and therefore she's Michael. No, not Fahm based on top of Al Hakam, but over here, Miyad de Michael, does he know there's a Na in order for him to be Michael it? When Reuven and Shimon are getting involved in a business deal and Reuven says, Amanashe in Lecha Alai Na, well, Shimon doesn't know whether or not there's a Na to be Michael on it. And that's why I, Rav, say that in this case of Mecher, this is not a good Tanai. Whereas again, it could be a good Tanai in the case of Yudushin. And Rishmuel and Rishmuel also would say, I know the Amir Filer Rameir. I could even hold like Rameir. I can't like Rameir Hasam. The only reason why Rameir says over there that it's not a good Tanai, Al Devadika Akar, because he's for sure being Iker something in the Torah. The Torah says that he has to give her Sherek Susan Aina, and here he's trying to uproot that. Aval Hachamud over here, Miyamir Dika Akar Midi, is he trying to uproot something in the Rabbanon? There isn't necessarily Aina over here. He's just saying, if there's Aina, I don't want you to have any Tainas on me. But it's very possible there is an Aina, and therefore the Tanai would be valid. And now clarifying Shita Shmuel, Amar Ravon Ravon says, Leidim Mefarshili Menei Demar Shmuel. Shmuel explained his Shita to me that Ha'arim Lechaveir, if a person tells his friend, Amanasha Ein Lecha Alai Ana, on condition that you don't have any Tainas of Aina on me, Ein Le Olav Aina, he's not allowed to have Tainas of Aina. However, if he says, Amanasha Ein Bai Aina, on condition that there is no Aina here, Harayish Bai Aina, so there is Aina. In other words, it all depends on how he words his Tanai. If he says, on condition that you don't have any complaints on me, so fine, even if there's Aina, he's not allowed to have complaints. But if he says, on condition that there is no Aina in the sale, well, if there was Aina, so you're going going against the Metzias. There's Aino over here. You can't make it Tanai that there's no Aino if there is Aino. And that would be the difference. Another question says, Mesa, we have a question. The Brisa says as follows, Hanoisim Hanoisim Bahamana, someone who does business with Hamana, meaning with trust. In other words, Reuven gives Shimon his merchandise to sell, and he trusts Shimon implicitly to sell it for whatever price he feels is right. And another scenario, if he's doing business with his friend, and he makes a stipulation, I'm selling this to you on condition that you don't have times of Aino. So ain't like all of Aino, in both these situations, there is no issue of Aino. Here's a question. According to Rav, who on the bottom of the previous Amud had said that I could even hold like Rav Yehuda, Hamani, who's this like? It's definitely not Rav Meir, and it can't be Rav Yehuda either. Because again, Rav had explained to Rav Yehuda that the only reason why Rav Yehuda allows this Tanai in the case of Kedushin is because the woman knows what she's getting herself into. She knows that she's being Kedushin if she gives up on Sheik Sosan Aina. But in the case of Aina, of overcharging, the person doesn't know what he's getting himself into. So according to Rav, there's no Tanai that holds like this Braisa. Now we have two answers to this. Amar Abaye Abaye says, Machvarta, Rav Amar Krav Meir, Shmuel da Amar Krav Yehuda. It must be clear, like we said originally, that Rav holds like Rav Meir and Shmuel holds like Rav Yehuda, and there is no way for Rav to explain his Shita in Rav Yehuda. Whereas Rav Amar Rava says, like Kasha, there's no problem. Kan b'stam, kan b'mefarish. Over here it's talking about Stam, over here it's talking about Mefarish. What does that mean? The Tanya, we have a Braisa that says, B'med Rav Murim, when was it stated that when a person says, Amanash in the Chol Aina, the sale is valid, and he is allowed to have complaints of Aina, b'stam. That's only when it's a case of Stam, meaning when Reuven sold Shimon an item, and they didn't know that there was Aina there. So sale is valid, the Tanai is batal, and Shimon is allowed to Aina, hey, you overcharged me. Av Mefarish, but when it's very clearly stipulated, when the Micah told the Lekeach, this item that I'm selling for 200, I know that it's only worth one money, and I'm charging you double. I'm only selling it to you on condition that you have no complaints of Aino, in all of Aino. So in that situation, he's not allowed to have complaints of Aino because he knows what he's getting himself into. Same thing with a buyer who tells a seller, this thing that I'm buying from you, for the price of one money, I know that it's really worth two. I'm only buying it from you on condition that you have no complaints of Aina, so ain't like all of Aina. Over there also, there's no complaints of Aina. And therefore, it actually could be that Rav explains the Shita in Rav Yehuda. As we had said previously, Rav Yehuda allows this Tanai to work if the person knows what they're getting themselves into. And in this brass that we just quoted, the person does know that he's getting himself into an issue of Aina, and when it's clearly stipulated that you're not allowed to have any complaints, so he's not allowed to have any complaints. I want to mention this concept of selling ba'amana. We continue with this. Tanur Rabban in the brass says, Hanoisim Hanoisim ba'amana, someone who does business with Hamana with trust, Hareze loy chashves hara ba'amana, that's Yafa Beshave. He shouldn't make an agreement that the Ra, the grade B stuff, is being sold by Amana based on trust, and that the Yafa, the grade A stuff, is being sold Beshave. Let's just pause here to explain. As we said before, when someone sells by Amana, that's someone who's selling on trust, that means that Reuven's hiring Shimon to sell his merchandise, trusting him fully to charge whatever he thinks is the right price, and Shimon will be paid for his efforts. Now there's another arrangement that we just mentioned, which is called Shave. And over here, Reuven's giving his stuff to Shimon to sell, and all Shimon has to give Reuven is the fair market value of this stuff, and anything more than that that Shimon manages to sell for, he can keep for himself. And that's his wages. So the price over here is dealing with an interesting arrangement. Reuven has two different levels of wine, for example. Grade A, which is going to be sold right away, and grade B, which is going to take a while to sell. And the price is saying that Reuven is not allowed to suggest the following. The Shimon is going to sell grade A b'shave, and grade B ba'amana. Now, how much is Reuven going to pay Shimon for the amana arrangement? And the answer to that is that Shimon doesn't have to give him the proceeds of grade A right away. He can hold on to them and use them, and only has to give them to Reuven when he manages to sell all of grade B. In other words, his payment for selling grade B is the right to use the proceeds of grade A for other business opportunities. And the reason this is not allowed to be done is because it's like Ribbis. It's called Hamtanas Mois. Since Reuven is now putter from paying Shimon because he's allowing Shimon to use his money, he is in essence gaining monetarily. This is similar to classic Ribbis situation where Reuven lends Shimon $100 to use and Shimon pays him $110 because that's schus of being able to hold on to Reuven's money. Now in our case, Shimon isn't actually paying Reuven more, but he's saving Reuven money because Reuven does not have to pay him a fee for selling his merchandise. And that's why the Braisa says that it's usur. Ella, rather, the Braisa continues, Oy, zev, zev, amana. Both grades of merchandise have to be sold by amana with his trust arrangement, Oy, zev, zev, shave, or both have to be sold with a shave arrangement. And not only that, v'noisin lo, schar kotev, schar gamol, schar punduk. When Reuven and Shimon make a cheshbin at the end of this deal, Shimon's allowed to include his business expenses that he incurred. Schar kotev is the porter's fee. If Shimon had to hire a porter to help transport the merchandise from Reuven's house to wherever he was bringing it, so Shimon includes that in business expenses that Reuven has to pay for. Gamol is the same thing. That's a donkey driver. If a donkey driver had to be hired, so Shimon includes that in business expenses that Reuven has to cover, and Schar Puntik as well. If he had to stay at an inn, he had to pay for a hotel. That also goes on the business card. That's something that Reuven covers and not Shimon. However, Schar Atzmai Eino Noitel, when Shimon's calculating the final expenses, he's not allowed to take his own Schar, Shekhar Nosnoli Schar Mishalim, because Reuven already paid him his full wages. Ask the Gemara, Schar Mishalim, Mehecha Kayavle. He paid him his full wages. Where did he give it to him? Where do we see over here in this discussion that Reuven paid Shimon? And our Papa answers that over here we're talking about a particular situation. But this Ruye, We're talking about the sale of garments, the Yavi Arbalamea, that he gives him 4 garments out of every 100 that he sells. And that's what it means that he already paid him his wages. Shimon knows that out of every 100 shirts that he sells, he gets to keep 4, and that was already prearranged upon. And therefore, when they make a cheshbon all the way at the end, how much money was made, Shimon's allowed to include all these business expenses, but not his actual schar, because again, he already took his schar. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow, continuing to talk about Aina. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.